Amen. You can be seated here today. I'm going to talk to us about praise and this excitement that you see and this sense of God is doing something and people being emotionally moved. And I just want to tell you that what you are experiencing today, let me just remind someone that knows and maybe tell somebody that has questions. What you are seeing is not just a cultural emotional expression. This is not the same thing as you would see at a concert, although you see similarities. But we truly believe that there is something supernatural that happens when we begin to praise and worship Jesus. And I'm thankful for that today. In this first service this morning, in the 9:15 a.m. service, I'm so thankful that we had one baptized in Jesus' name. And as she came out of the water, she came out of the water speaking in another tongue as the Holy Spirit gave the utterance. I'm thankful that's the way we can walk into 2026. We had a young man come down with pain in his back. He said a 9, and we prayed a prayer over him, and he walked away, and he jumped, and he said, I no longer have any pain in my back. Let me tell somebody today that we serve a God that still cures cancer. We still serve a God that can heal someone's back in an instant. You need to have faith to believe that God can answer your prayers. You may call it predictable, but I believe it's necessary to make a conscious decision how we are going to enter into this new year. You are either going to allow your circumstances to dictate how you walk into this new year, or you're going to decide for yourself how you're going to begin this year. You know, one thing about celebration, we are hardwired in our minds, in our nature, to celebrate as a response to something good happening. That's when the celebration is triggered, is when something good happens, then we celebrate. When X happens, when this event happens, when this thing I hope for happens, then I will celebrate. But we have to understand about praise when it comes to God, there's a little bit of a difference and we see in our perspective. Because the danger is if you praise, if you celebrate only in response to good things happening, then you will be on a spiritual roller coaster for the rest of your life. I want to tell somebody today that when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to our walk with God, our praise, our worship has to dig a little deeper than our present circumstances. You know, if you do New Year's resolutions, I'm all for that. I'm excited for that. If you've got resolutions, if you want to write some things down, if you want to make a plan, if you want to do some things, that's great. I say go for it. Do that. It's beneficial. It's good to do that. I will write some things out. I journal. I believe in all of those things. But the backdrop of a resolution is being resolved. If you want to carry out a resolution, you have to first be resolved because that resolution is dependent on your resolve to do it. So as much as I want you to celebrate, as much as I want you to write some things down, and this month we are calling this collection of sermons First Things, because I believe there are so many great things that God has in store for you this year. I believe there are wonderful things, but just trust me, if we are going to do great things, before we do great things, there are some first things that we have to do. If I'm going to ever do some resolutions, I first must be resolved in myself. Because if I am not resolved to do some things, if I am not resolved to be some things, there's no way I can accomplish what I am resolved to do. Understand? So what I want to tell you today is that I want you to resolve in your spirit that I am going to praise first. I know that maybe 2025 for you was not the best year. Maybe you're walking into 2026 and things are not going so great. I know sometimes we rejoice because of how things turned out. But what if 2025 was not the year that you hoped it would be? What if 2026 does not end up being the year that you hoped it would be? Is that going to rob you of your praise? My hope is that today you would say no. I want us to resolve to, as a church body and personally as each believer, I want us to resolve, and I'm going to resolve today, Lord, I want to resolve that I want to praise my way into every situation, whether good or bad. God, I promise you that I'm going to resolve to praise my way through the situation, whether good or bad. And Lord, I'm going to praise my way out of a situation because my praise cannot be dependent upon my circumstances. My praise is connected to the God that I serve. And understand that God that I serve is worthy of praise on my best days, and he's worthy of praise on my worst days. So I'm trying to get somebody to understand. I want you to praise God for who he is. I want you to praise God for his excellent greatness. I want you to praise God no matter what's transpiring in your life. Praise first. I know you may be going through pain in your body, but can you praise in your pain? I know things may not be perfect today, but can you praise first? Praise first. This 100th Psalm, five short verses, contains some wonderful themes that we see paralleled in the New Testament. Now, you may say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, you know, what about the New Testament? Well, we look in Ephesians chapter 5. If we pick up in verse 15, Paul is speaking about living by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he admonishes us to be filled with the Spirit. And there's some things, there's three things I want to point out that we see in Ephesians 5 that are paralleled to Psalm 100. I think it's beautiful for us to see that. It begins in verse 15, we're going to read. He says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The New Living Translation says, "Be careful how you live." Verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I could pause right here and preach an entire sermon on the three words, redeeming the time. Let me just tell somebody, you may have feel like, you know what, I have messed so much up in my life. I have messed so many things up, I have made so many poor decisions, and I just don't know what's gonna happen. But I just wanna tell you that starting today, if you make a different decision than you made yesterday, then what you are doing, as this verse says, you can begin to redeem that time. You can't go back and change yesterday, but you can begin to start redeeming today. So again, how does praise fit into that? Maybe yesterday you were angry, you were upset at God. Maybe you have withheld praise for years, but maybe today you can begin to redeem some of your joy by saying, God, things have not worked out yet, but I'm going to go ahead and start redeeming some praise in my life. I'm going to go ahead and start redeeming some things. God is the only one that can redeem your soul, but you are the only one that can redeem your time. You are a soul that has been redeemed, so it is your job to redeem the time that you have. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Make the best use of your time. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Look at verse 18. There is a beautiful contrast in verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I believe he's drawing a contrast. You know what? Some people would say, if you want to have a good time, if you want to feel free, if you want to feel happiness, if you want to feel joy, then the great way to do that is to abuse wine, alcohol. Go get drunk, and that's going to give you all of these great feelings that you feel. But he says, no, if you want to, yes, you can have joy, you can have happiness, you can have all of these wonderful things, but don't be drunk with wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So yes, you can get drunk with wine, and certainly maybe in that moment you can be excited about it and feel good and feel liberty, but that joy will only last for a moment, and it will lead you down a path to destruction. But I'm here to tell somebody today, if you want that same joy and greater, if you want that same happiness and greater, if you want that same peace and greater, then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you can walk every single day with joy. And guess what? That kind of joy doesn't come with guilt. That kind of joy doesn't come with shame. That kind of joy doesn't come with self-destruction. So let me just tell somebody today, I'm going to stand in 2026 and say, be filled with the Spirit today. Don't be filled with wine to excess. Be filled with the Spirit. There's a beauty that comes from following after the Lord. And then in verse 19 through 21, we see the three parallels I want to show you today. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Here we see the first admonition. Be joyful and sing praise. If you are filled with the Spirit, we are admonished to be joyful and sing praise. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see the second admonition. Be thankful. If we're filled with the Spirit, we should be thankful. And then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here we see the third admonition. Submit yourselves. Here we see the way to honor God is to submit ourselves one to another. The rest of this passage goes on to talk about what submitted relationship looks like. It talks about, it uses a marriage as to understand this submission. But the backdrop of submit yourselves one to another, the backdrop of that statement is first submitting yourself to God. We're called to submit ourselves to God first. If you have two people who are submitted to the Lord, that makes submitting to one another so much easier. So we see, be joyful, be thankful, submit yourselves unto the Lord. If you are filled with the Spirit, you are to be joyful, you are to be thankful, you are to be submitted. Now, I want to look back at Psalms 100, this psalm of thanksgiving, this psalm of praise. Although this is the Old Testament, we'll see this pattern in the admonition of us being filled with the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. We see that it begins even all the way back in Psalms. Again, I read this again. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Certainly, in this passage, the Israelites, they would sing praises to the Lord. But this doesn't stop with just Israel. The command here is all ye lands. Everybody. It's not just an Israelite thing. It wasn't just a them thing. It was an everybody thing. This is something we see time and time again. It was the people of God's responsibility to show and introduce at that time the Gentiles to the one true and living God. In the same way, we are commanded to make disciples of all nations. We are called to show the world the one true and living God. And a part of that is our praise. Let me just tell you, I want the entire world to know God the way that I do. I want the entire world to know the joy of the Lord the way that I do. I want the entire world to know the praise that I do. But how are they going to know it for themselves if they never see it in me? How can I expect somebody else to praise the Lord and to get excited about this God that I serve if I can't even do it myself? Let me bring it close to home. How will I ever expect my children to love, to worship, and praise God if they don't see Dad modeling it right now? If I want praise to be in my home, I better start with me. If I want to see some good things produced in my family, it better start right here and right now. If I want to see something produced, I better praise first. But Dad, things aren't going good. That's okay. We praise God when things are bad. But Dad, aren't you frustrated? Yes, I may be frustrated, but I'm not going to let it stop my praise, because my praise is not tied to my circumstance. My praise is tied to my Savior, and he's worthy of praise today. He's worthy of praise tomorrow. I'm trying to shake somebody today and say, get out of your circumstance. Your praise has got to be bigger than your trial. Your praise has got to be bigger than what you're going through. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let me tell you something. Everybody praises. Everybody worships. And again, you may, there's certainly a cultural aspect and element to praise. Our praise, that we do have traditions, certainly. The American church, different churches. If you were to go to another country and you were to see their praise is going to have a cultural lens on it. It may look a little bit different. There may be something that's a little bit different about that praise. But let me also tell you, it is not just a cultural thing. There is something that transcends that. Now, but let me talk about our culture. You may say, well, I did not grow up in a Pentecostal church like this. Man, you guys jump, you guys clap, you guys dance, you guys sing, you guys shout, all this stuff. It's wonderful. But I didn't grow up that way. My family is not that way. I'm not an emotional person. My personality is introverted. We can use all these languages of separation. But if I put you in the right conditions, I bet I could elicit an emotion out of you. I bet I could elicit some response out of you. Now, listen. I'm going to, you know, use this example, and I know preachers love to beat up on sports. Let me just say right now, I'm not against sports at all, but I do think there is an interesting parallel. Have you seen this, a social media trend? Have you seen the videos of people putting praise and worship music over a video of somebody watching a football game or a basketball game? Have y'all seen this? It's really funny, because the person, unbeknownst to them, they are excited about something, but this person has superimposed some shout music, some praise music, and it's really funny to see people in that context. But also something just resonates and rings true. This person that has no context, maybe of the way we do church, what you would say has no cultural context to what's happening right here on a Sunday, and yet when you see them, something sparks in your mind and says, you know what? Man, that just looks familiar. Why is it so funny? Because it looks familiar. What I'm trying to tell you is there are some things that, yes, we do have a culture in our church. I'm not trying to say we don't have a cultural lens. But what I want to tell you is praise, yes, it's influenced by culture. But praise, as much as it's about our culture and our expression, praise is also about creation. Let me tell you today, you are created to praise. There are some expressions that transcend culture. And let me just give you an example. Let's say you're walking down a long hall. You ever done this where, and you make eye contact with a stranger from like 50 yards away, right? And you're like, you make a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to lock in and just stare at them? Like, we'll see who breaks first. Or do you like turn away really quick, pull out your phone, right? Or do you smile, give them the smile or not? But let's just imagine you and I don't know each other. But we are walking down the hall, and the moment our eyes met, I went. Without speaking a word, without even knowing what language you speak, that would probably communicate. You might think, well, he's crazy, or like, do I know him? What's wrong? But the point is, there are some expressions that are going to transcend my culture. There's going to some expressions that are going to transcend a Detroit culture, a northern culture, a southern culture. Listen, you go down, I'm from the South, and they praise and worship. I would say, everybody say amen, and 20 people would jump up and run around the church and get excited and sit back down. Right? There's certainly culture of it. But I'm trying to tell somebody today that you may say, well, I'm not excited. I just don't get excited about those things. But I just want to tell you that there is not just a cultural aspect to praise, but there is a creation aspect to praise. There are some things that transcend culture. That's why you see some things like a lifted hand. That is going to transcend culture. It's a universal sign of surrender outside of a worship context. If you see somebody and they raise their hands, it is a universal sign of surrender. Smiling, clapping your hands, making a joyful noise, shouting, these things. You don't have to speak a language to know if someone is making a happy noise or an angry noise. Why? Because some things are just built in us as a creation. So let me tell you, regardless of your background, regardless of your personality, regardless of your tradition, you were created to give God praise. You were created to lift up a shout. You were created to clap your hands. You were created in some way to express your praise unto God. The psalmist knew this. He said, the heavens declare the glory of the God. The sky proclaims the works of his hands. Psalms 108 says, for your faithful love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the clouds. That's why you see things like, you know what? If I don't give God praise, the rocks are going to cry out. That's why you see things like the trees as they wave, they give praise unto God. Let me tell somebody today, bigger than your culture, you are created to give God praise. Oh, praise is not about my preference. Praise is not about what I want to give God. It's about what he wants to receive. And I'm going to tell somebody today unequivocally that God wants your praise. He wants you to make a joyful noise. He wants you to lift praises to his name. He wants you to praise first. Not just when he blesses you, not just when things are good. Even in the deepest, darkest valley of your life, can you praise God? Even when you're sick in your body, can you praise God? Sister Angie, right there in the back, you don't know her story, but she is stricken in her body, maybe even today with pain, but she's standing in the back saying, God, I'll praise you. I'll praise you when I'm hurting. I'll praise you when I feel good. I'll praise you when the tests come back negative. I'll praise you when the tests come back positive, because she has learned something that I want you to learn today, that your praise is connected to your God. It is not connected to your sickness. It is not connected to your circumstance. Oh, give God praise. Praise him, all ye lands. Praise him for his excellent greatness. Oh, we praise you today, oh God. We praise you today, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And yes, there's some things you may, our forefathers, our tradition. You ever heard of the term holy roller? You ever heard that term? If you've never heard that term, welcome. But there's something, I think, impactful about this. And you can talk to different people and get different ideas and interpretations. But one central aspect of it, yes, there was a tradition that existed within Pentecostal movements and spiritual movements of people literally laying down on the ground and rolling back and forth. And a part of this goes back to the psalmist David. When the Ark of the Covenant came back into the city, David began to dance. And the Bible says that he threw off his kingly robes. He threw off that sign of dignity and he danced. And his wife was angry with him. She scorned him. What is wrong with you? And David's response echoes even in everyone's ears today. He said, I will become even more undignified than this. David understood something that I believe every believer needs to understand, that if I get more concerned with my pride than praising God, then I have missed it. So yes, it may be a little comical that these people would roll on the ground, but you know what they were saying? They were saying, what does it take for me to get all of my dignity, all of my pride out of the way? If I have to lay on the ground and roll around to give God praise, to make it not about me, then that's what I'm going to do. So I just believe that there's an element of that that needs to exist within each and every one of us. And yes, I want things to be in order. And yes, I want to look nice. But I want to be the first to say that I care more about praising God than I do your opinion of me. I don't want to care so much about what people think of me that I'm not going to give God praise. So if I've been through something big, don't be shocked if I begin to jump. Don't be surprised if I begin to run around. Why? Because you don't know what God has done for me in my life. And I'm not going to let that stop me from giving God praise. You're not going to stop me. Your opinion's not going to stop me. Social media's not going to stop me. I don't care what people think about me when it comes to praising my God. Why? Because he's worthy of praise. I want to praise first. God, I want to give you praise first. I don't care if you don't do another thing for me. I want to praise. I want to give you glory. I want to model what I want to see in my family. I want to model what I want to see in my church. If I'm going to get excited about a sports team, I better get excited about your glory. If I'm going to get so excited about things of this world, you may say, this seems odd. I know it seems odd to you, but it's not about you. It's about somebody saying, you don't know the people that are running right now. You have no idea what they're going through right now. I know some of their stories. I know some of their struggles. I know some of their pain. If you only knew that they were praising in the middle of a storm, they were praising in the middle of something so dark and difficult. But we're commanded, praise ye the Lord. It's not culture, it's creation. I was created to praise. I was created to worship. I was created to give God glory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, can we just give him praise today? I would that a praise would come up. Lord, I want to walk into 2026 with praise. I want to enter a new year with praise. I want to enter a new day with praise. Oh, let's praise him together. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We worship you. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you, God. There's something powerful when you praise. When you praise God, it's saying, you know what? I'm going to put everything on pause for a moment. I may not feel like celebrating. Again, our normal hardwiring is we celebrate after the good thing has happened. We celebrate after our team wins. We celebrate after we get a promotion. We celebrate after we get a raise. But I'm trying to tell you, there's got to be something deeper in your spirit that says, I will celebrate today because God made this day, because I belong to the Lord's. So I'm trying to pull somebody out of the pit of despair and say, yes, I will dance with you when you win. I will celebrate with you when you get a promotion. But I also want to praise with you right now in the middle of your trial. Not because things are going good, but because God is good. He's worthy of my praise. And when you praise, it changes your posture. It changes your mood. It changes the atmosphere. It's something spiritual. What you're feeling right now is not just emotion. There is a spiritual undercurrent. Yes, you're going to see counterfeit praise all over this world. But when you give praise to God, it connects with something so deep in your spirit. That's why it feels different, because we're praising the only one that's actually worthy of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm not trying to harp on other things to celebrate. Please hear me. I'm not harping on sports. I know we've got a lot of diehard Lions fans in our church, and that's wonderful. If you enjoy that, you enjoy sports, that's great. But at the same time, we need to recognize, if you end up in the hospital tomorrow, if you are stricken in your body, you are not calling the Detroit Lions to come help you. And I'm not denigrating sports, but I'm saying, if you want to get excited about sports, man, that's great. Go ahead. Get excited. Get jubilant. But let it not be said of me that my kids would see me scream in front of a TV and get excited about something that doesn't affect my eternity. And yet when I come in the house of God, I'm so stoic that I can't be bothered with anything else. What am I teaching my kids? No, yes, celebrate there. That's fine. But when you come into the house of God, bring that same praise and more. Bring that same excitement and more. I want to show my kids, this is what Dad celebrates. We had one baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm going to celebrate. That's what I'm going to get excited about. Oh, why? Because I'm going to praise first. I'm going to praise first. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, we just need to praise. Let's just praise for a moment. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not trying to preach a good message. I'm trying to show you my posture. Let it not be said of me. I don't want to be the stoic pastor watching everybody else praise. No, I want to say, let me model it for you. Let me show you what it looks like. I don't care if people think I'm crazy. My God's too big. My God's too good. My God's too holy. Oh, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Stand with me today. Stand with me today. We're going to praise God. We're going to move forward in this service. We're going to close this service by praising God together. And let me tell you, I am not looking for a specific praise from you. I'm not saying you have to do this or you have to do that. I'm asking you, could you enter into 2026 with praise? Maybe you come from a tradition of church where it is so reserved and everything I'm doing is foreign. I understand that. Maybe for you, even the idea of lifting your hands and crying out to the Lord verbally, for you, that may be a massive step. And if so, then give God that praise. But you know what? I don't want to lose some things in our tradition. I want things to be done decently. I want things to be in order. But I don't want us to, you know, years from now say, oh, well, I remember my grandma's church. Man, they really knew how to praise and worship. I don't want it to be said of us, oh, well, man, you should have been there 20 years ago because people would really get excited about the Lord. No, I don't want to lose some things. Let 2026 not be the year that we lose our praise. So maybe somebody, maybe something as simple as, you know what? It's been a long time since I just began to jump and dance before the Lord. I'm not trying to tell you what your praise needs to be. I'm just trying to tell you, you were created to praise. It's bigger than your culture. It's bigger than your personality. It's bigger than your background. It's bigger than your tradition. You were made to praise God. That's why there is a universal. When you celebrate, shouting is a universal sign of excitement. You don't have to teach a kid to shout. You don't have to teach a kid to yell. Why? Because that is created within us. All I'm asking is, can you point that excitement in the right direction? Oh, let me tell you, parents, whatever you celebrate, your children will replicate. I'm not speaking against being excited about sports. I'm not speaking against being excited about your hobbies. That's wonderful. That's great. But if all I do is celebrate my favorite sports team, my favorite hobby, whatever it is, and my kids never see me celebrate in church, what do you think they're going to think I care about the most? Certainly not the thing I don't celebrate. No, they're going to look to the thing that I celebrate. I'm not even speaking against your kids playing sports. But if all you ever celebrate is sports and you never celebrate their worship, what do you think they're going to do to try to please you? They're not going to look to the house of God as a place of affirmation. I'm trying to tell somebody today to praise here first. Bring your praise into 2025. So maybe for somebody, you need to reclaim a praise that you let go years ago. Maybe it's been years since you just jumped up and down. Maybe you feel foolish. That's understandable. I'm not trying to tell everybody to do the same thing. I'm simply asking you, can you praise God? I know the answer is yes, but that's what's beautiful about everyone's praise. It is unique to you. It is individual for you. I cannot praise for you. I've got my praise and I'm going to give it to God. The question is, will you give your praise to God? You were created for it. You were created to do it. You're admonished to do it. And we don't praise. Ephesians gives us further clarity. Psalms just gives us the admonition. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts of praise. Ephesians tells us why. Not because, oh, everything is great. Oh, because your situation is good. No, Ephesians says, do all of these things because you are filled with the Spirit. So today, I praise, not because everything is great in my bank account, not because everything is great on my job, not because everything is great at home. No, those, although those are good reasons, underneath all of those things is the truth that, Lord, I praise because I've got your Spirit, and that is reason enough. So we're going to praise together, and I want to invite you, if you want to, this is not compulsion, but if you want to come down and join us, our worship team is going to worship. I'm going to praise right here. I'm going to turn my mic off, and I'm going to give God my best praise coming into 2026. But I want to invite you to come down to the front today. If you want to come down, it's no compulsion. If you want to stay in your seat, that's fine. But in just a moment, we're going to begin to praise and worship God, and I want to just push you out of your comfort zone and say, if you just want to lift your hands, if you want to raise your voice, if you've never done that, today is the day that you release some praise unto God, and you will be shocked at what God can do when you begin to give him praise. When you begin to give God praise, shackles can be broken. When you begin to sing songs and worship the Lord, chains can be broken. Chains of your mind can be broken through praise. Chains in your body can be broken through praise. But you've got to release it unto the Lord. Don't hold it back or the rocks will cry out. So right now, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray over you, and then I want us to praise God however you want to. Lord, I pray today as we walk into this new year, God, that we would give you our best praise. Lord, I pray today, somebody, they may be struggling, but I pray right now, if they are here, that they would understand, if I've got clothes on my back, if I've got breath in my lungs, then I've got a reason to give God praise. I pray you would release it in this place today, Jesus. Release your joy. Release your thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And I wonder right now, if somebody, if you could find a reason, if you've got clothes, if you've got a meal waiting for you, if you've got breath in your lungs, you've got a reason to praise God. You've got a reason to praise
Him. All of my fear, I will
let's
turn
praise
into
together.
Praise. Shake off
if you want to clap, if you want to jump, I want to encourage you. Get your praise back today.
I will
get your praise back today.
Morning.